planning. This is where we discuss upcoming meeting agendas and look at the year at a glance. Is there any? Oh, I see a raised hand from Commissioner McKaysick. And go ahead, Commissioner McKaysick.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Well, first, let me say thanks to Nikki for posting the year at a glance and the December meeting and draft agenda on the website. That's very nice to see both of those on there. I think that's a good public service and good for commissioners and staff as well. So thank you, Nikki, for doing such a good job on that. I wanted to provide the commission an update of the hatchery review policy and how it would affect our December agenda that has been planned. And then I also wanted to propose a blue sheet for something that would come up in February. On the matter of our hatchery policy, recall that we were to meet with the tribal co-managers on November 17th, where they would give us their policy perspectives on the public review draft that the commission approved for public review on November 6th. And due to an inadvertent error in distribution, they did not receive the November 6th public review draft in advance of the meeting. This was not determined until the day before the meeting on the 17th. And so they did receive it the afternoon of the meeting the day before, but that's not the best opportunity. We were hoping they'd have a chance to review it and give us some substantive comments. So as a result, what's in the works now is that they would get back to us on December 2nd. Which is the day before our three-day commission meeting business starts. We have a fish committee meeting on the 3rd, and then this was going to come up on the agenda. So I think that it does mean that we would not be able to get to the scheduled final decision on in December, as had been part of the schedule, because we won't know what the comments from the tribal co-managers are until the eve of that meeting, and reacting to it in such short order is probably not the best way to do things. So I think those of us who were on that call were thinking that it would be inappropriate to continue with the schedule of December 4th or 5th, whenever that is, I guess. I guess it would show up on the 5th. But anyway, whenever it was, that just would not be right. And postponing until January might be better. So I see that is reflected in the draft agenda for December now, where it shows the purpose of that agenda item is to hear from the public comment for the folks that did get a look at the news release and have comments. We would have the tribal comment on the eve of that meeting. Think about that and then think about our next steps. So maybe I would pause on that one before going to the blue sheet. And if there are any of the other commissioners that were in that tribal co-manager meeting, if they want to add anything or the commission has any questions about it.
Commissioner Linville has her hand raised.
Sorry, for another topic.
Commissioner Anderson's making noises.
I realize sometimes I just jump in. I'm supposed to push a button. So I was starting to push the button after I said, I'm fine with a slight delay. I think obviously this is important to keep going. And, as Commissioner McKaysick mentioned, there was a delay in getting some information to the tribes for them to react to. So, hopefully we'll have another meeting, but it won't be timely enough. So, I think doing it the way Don suggested, allowing for that input and then picking up the firm schedule in January works, although I get nervous the further out anything gets pushed. So.
Okay, so does anybody have anything else to say about the December meeting?
Joe Pinesco does.
Ah, go for it, Joe.
Yeah, on the topic of the hatchery policy, I owe a document which will be attorney-client privileged to the commission based upon a request that arose out of the last executive session. I haven't completed it yet. I apologize for that delay. I will be working on that. You will have it long before the December meeting. Well, maybe not too long, because that's actually just 2 weeks away, isn't it? By the beginning of that week, for sure, given that we've got the Thanksgiving break this next week.
Thanks, Joe. So, Molly, Commissioner McIsaac also had a blue sheet he wanted to present. Do you want to go with your other topic before or after Don finishes his?
I'll go after.
All right. Back to you, Don.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to try sharing a screen here to show it. I think that Nikki has distributed it to commissioners and staff prior to this meeting. But I'll run through it here. This is a blue sheet that's intended to try to set up a commission agenda item in February on the 2021 North of Falcon issues. So you'll see the title of the request here is possible guidance on 2021 North of Falcon issues. In terms of our bleat protocol here, I struggled with importance being high or medium and urgency being higher. Our meeting in February is in late February, 25th, 26th. 27th, and that if we waited till March, it would be too late. But the idea here is, as we get closer to it, that we hear about the run size forecast from the staff and give the commissions the opportunity to offer any kind of policy guidance. So in terms of knowledge being requested, this would involve the staff work of having them make a presentation on the current status of any salmon run size forecasts. Sometimes those aren't finished until early March for some stocks. Some of them will be finished by then. So it's whatever the staff has already assembled in their preparations. The action by the commission would be, again, just to provide the opportunity to provide some policy level guidance on any 2021 North of Falcon issues that is potentially more specific than the principles contained in our policy 3608, which is a very high general policy level document for all North of Falcon meetings, not necessarily just 2021. So this would be based on whatever we hear of 2021. So the output requested, I think this has to do with what's the burden on the staff here. So it would involve them planning for an agenda item in February. And again, putting a presentation on the status of any forecasts that are available. I think this would be a time when we could hear whether or not 2021 is going to be a complete bust. There's terrible ocean conditions and terrible freshwater survival, and the fish runs are going to be way down in 2021. Or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, there's going to be some bountiful spots there where fisheries will be planned. And I think it's a good idea for the commissioners to hear about that, because we do get questions on it from constituents, for just that reason alone, I think it's worth having this. But if it turns out that there are some policy issues that the commissioners would like to bring up to staff before the North of Falcon business starts, it would have that opportunity. So that's the idea. And Madam Vice Chair, I can't remember if the protocol here is to have a discussion about it and not go to the formality of a motion or exactly what. So I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, normally blue sheets are kind of easy and we just vote on them. Does anybody have any discussion on this particular blue sheet?
Madam Vice Chair.
Go ahead, Chair Carpenter.
Don and others, Don, you talked to me about this yesterday and I appreciate that. I didn't get a chance to read this request until this morning. A couple of things that jump out at me, and North of Falcon is something that I have spent a lot of time in, as others have, and I'm very sensitive to it. I would request, Don, that this blue sheet not go forward until potentially a later meeting in December or January. I would want to have some very deep diving discussions on this at the Fish Committee and talk about it in more detail and bring it forward in that fashion. So I just would request you consider that.
Yeah, well, I'm fine with that. As an initial reaction, yeah, this is just to try to get the idea moving forward. So we've got time between now and February, so I'm just trying to introduce the concept by a blue sheet. That's our protocol.
All right. Does anybody else have anything that they want to add discussing this particular blue sheet?
This is Jim Anderson.
Go ahead, Jim.
I like the idea of having a briefing, not being on the Fish Committee, where a lot of this might get talked about is a little bit of a disadvantage to those commissioners that aren't part of that. Having said that, you know, we can engage because of the way we do the meetings, but I guess my take or my perspective is that it's valuable that we have this discussion at the commission in a timely enough fashion per the various different reasons, including we get asked questions. So I support this and the way you're trying to get this in front of us. So,
okay, let's see. All right, does anybody else have comments on the blue sheet? Okay, I guess I.
Hey, Barbara, Bob's got his hand up.
Okay, Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. You know, I am. Well, let me just start by saying the obvious. The obvious is that there's a great deal of discontent among the public about the North of Falcon recently, both on the recreational and the commercial side. And, you know, so I support Commissioner McIsaac's blue sheet. But, you know, and I respect Chair Carpenter and his perspective. Both he and I have been around North of Falcon for many years, both the citizens and then now also as commissioners, and kind of a combination of both, actually. I will say, too, that historically, we have been reluctant to give the director, you know, firm instructions about deliverables or what have you, or lines in the sand. I don't think that's going to be our intent here. But rather, I do think that we need to engage with staff and just kind of see where maybe some of the landmines might be so that we can all prepare. And then with respect to maybe some of these landmines, provide guidance. So as far as the Fish Committee, Chair Carpenter, I'm supportive of that. But I think we should plan in advance and not just have a wide open discussion. If there are specific issues or concerns that you have, I think those need to be clearly articulated and so that we can have a informed discussion. But again, I apologize for the long-windedness. I'm generally supportive of this approach. So.
Don, this is Barbara. May I ask that you take down your screen, because I can't see who has their hands raised when it's still up. And there are people who want to speak to this. So let's go to Ron Warren. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioners, Director Ron Warren, Commissioner McIsaac, thank you for the blue sheet. We've got a lot of time to work out the details of making this presentation in February. That week of February will be our kickoff meeting where we detail forecasts statewide, show comparative trend lines over recent years of how those stocks are doing, and plan to do that week, just a day or two earlier than the commission meeting will go forth. My question is, number one, that will be available online. So if folks want to hear it twice, you can watch the kickoff meeting. All the public are allowed to participate. We've held a lot of those meetings online and record them, keep them on our intranet sites. But then are you looking for a statewide detailed presentation such as that? My assumption in reading the blue sheet is yes, you are. And we also go through a fairly extensive ocean conditions presentation at that time, and I would assume that you would want that as well, but I'm just checking in to make sure that commission is aware, or that staff are aware of what the commission is requesting.
Commissioner McIsaac, do you have a response for Ron?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Madam Vice Chair, and Ron Warren, you as well. I guess when I look at the February agenda, I see there's six agenda items on there. I think it would be useful for the commissioners to see an overall picture. I stumbled over the word great detail and every river and every run size and that kind of thing. I had not been thinking that more detailed of a level. So maybe some sort of summary. I guess in general, if we've got the time, I think it'd be good. We've seen that blue, green, yellow sheet before. I don't recall what agenda item it was in. If this relieves some pressure off of some other agenda item and this is where it goes, I think that's a useful thing to hear about. Mostly in general, whether or not we're looking at a big year, a medium year, or a low year in Puget Sound, Columbia River, and the coast is kind of what I'm thinking. So I guess, Ron, I'm not sure about all the complete detail, maybe a summary of what is done in the more detailed forum that you're talking about.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Anderson, your hand is up. Did you forget to take it down, or do you want to talk again?
I did not put it up, but I would take advantage of that. I think the kind of detail that is needed is what Commissioner Carpenter, Chairman Carpenter, was talking about in terms of trying to sketch some of this out at the Fish Committee level too. So,
if I could add to that just for a minute, Vice Chair Baker, timing is everything, and I think the sensitivity of some of the issues that we have that we're working on right now are paramount to piecing this together. And I the comments by Bob Keogh, Commissioner Keogh, on the importance of North of Falcon strategies and structures and so on, I think are critical. I guess to be really candid with my colleagues, I'm thinking we should have a Fish Committee meeting in December that'll be split. Part of it will be an open meeting and part of it will be a closed meeting because of the issue that we have to dig into fairly deeply. So that's what I'm talking about. And I just wanted to be forthright about that.
All right. I don't see any more hands up. I think to summarize this discussion, there is interest from the commission. I haven't heard any non-interest in having the a briefing in February on the current status of Salmon Run size forecasts. And that the scope of that briefing, as well as the specific policy guidance piece of Don's blue sheet, will be discussed first in a Fish Committee meeting and then at some point been brought back to us. So I think for scheduling purposes, Nikki, if you could please add a briefing on what we know about salmon runs in February, and we'll leave the rest for future development. Does that work for everyone, especially you, Don?
That works fine for me. I had not intended that this agenda item in February would get into real detailed guidance from commissioners on a whole bunch of things, but rather just the opportunity to say something about some general policy guidance, because our policy right now just says generic things like follow USV Washington, follow USV Oregon, make sure you make your conservation goals. And we've heard some other things in the past, and people say, well, why didn't the commission entertain any of this? And we've delegated this out to staff, and I don't want to get into a replacement of any of that, but just an opportunity for the commissioners to say anything. It's not into a 4-hour agenda item or anything of the sort. So if that gets fleshed out in the Fish Committee meeting in December and people know what's coming in February, that works just as you described, works fine for me.
All right. Well, then
Vice Chair Baker, I, for what it's worth, director is not muted. I don't know if he wishes to speak or not.
Well, before that, I would like to say that's a dang good looking dog, Brad. I want a dog. Director Sisowin, did you want to make some comments? Okay, you don't, or you're muted.
I just froze up my whole screen, so hopefully I'm back now. I didn't have anything to add. I think that's fine. We can flesh this out at Fish Committee and the private part of Fish Committee. I certainly support the intent. You all should know exactly what we know going into North of Falcon. I think Chair Carpenter, you're right. It's good to have part of that be a closed meeting because we're heading into a negotiation, and a TVW public meeting on your bottom lines going into a negotiation is really not all that helpful. So I support the path we're on.
Okay, so great. That's done. Now, Molly, you had your hand up for something more, but now your hand's down. Would you like to speak?
I just have two little things. I'm not sure if it's general discussion or a calendar item. Should I just go?
Well, we're kind of bleeding into the last, so go ahead.
Okay, so I have two things. I always feel like I'm the person that's bringing up problem things. I'm starting to feel a little bit of meeting sprawl. Because it's so easy just to set a Zoom meeting whenever. And this is certainly what I signed up for. So if everybody wants to just not listen to me, that's totally fine. But like, I am, I'm often working sort of miles from the house. And if I have a meeting, I have to come back to the house to be near the phone or the computer or whatever. And so it eats a big chunk of my working day. And that's totally fine if that's 1 or 2 days a week. But if we could maybe, if it's possible for subcommittee meetings to maybe try to get two or more put on the same day. I know we're getting overloaded with meetings, but now I feel like they're spread out in a way that's kind of starting to be tough for me, which I know is kind of selfish, but but I just wanted to put that out there that like two subcommittee meetings on the same day is works better for me than like one a day on 3 different days of the week. So that just something food for thought. And then I think this is a question for Joe Pinesco. Because the grazing got pushed out to the grazing decision got pushed out to January, I wanted to put together some information grazing information from my perspective that I wanted to share with the rest of the commission. And in fact, I was going to just put a little video together so I could show you some grazing information from my perspective. And I didn't know if that was appropriate or okay to do to share a video with the rest of the commission. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, just pushing information to the rest of the commission, as long as it's publicly shared as well. I mean, it would be a publicly available document. That can be okay. The thing that we're the limit is the Open Public Meeting Act, where you can't have two-way discussion, because that turns into a meeting that needs to be noticed under the OPMA. But just, you know, so you're providing a package of information and sharing it with the rest of the commission, even if it's a video. That's just pushing information, no different than, for example, Commissioner McIsaac sharing a draft of a proposed policy for folks to look at and discuss at the next meeting.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Anderson has his hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to, since we're talking about meetings and scheduling, give a shout out to Nikki for trying to keep track of all this. You know, a lot of times things really move around, and not only do we have our meetings that we're talking about here, but there's also the various briefings with the staff and opportunities to meet with the public and the like as they may come in. And Nikki does a really good job, in my opinion, trying to help us, and in particular keep my calendar current. And so thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
And you got a thumbs up from Commissioner Smith as well on two thumbs up. Well, speaking for myself, I absolutely agree, Molly. The meeting sprawl is becoming an issue. I have asked Nikki, and now maybe we'll ask her on behalf of all of us, when possible, to set meetings in clumps rather than spread out, especially for me when I'm meeting with constituents who want to meet. I ask to have those phone calls now set right before or after a current meeting, just so that doesn't happen. And so I the other thing is that the pressure seems to be mounting, and there seems to be more and more and more meetings. And also, we all seem to have this overachiever need to sit in on every single committee meeting, which wasn't the idea when the committee system was set up, as I understand it. But, you know, that's on us. And so if there's no objection, we'll ask Nikki to double down on the efforts to clump these meetings together. Now, the thing that does, though, is it means that there may be time. Nikki is trying to set meetings, and she sets them according to our availability. So we need to be as flexible as we can, basically in deference to other participants in the meeting, to be as available as possible if we clump them. Does that make sense? Okay, Nikki, does that sound okay to you?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so now we have, now we are well into general discussion. Okay, I'm just gonna get my part of this over with. I wanted to quickly raise two things. One is that I got to sit in on the Centennial Accord Natural Resources subgroup 2 days ago, which was a almost 3 hour long meeting attended by the tribes, the agencies, and the governor and our director. A whole lot of people were there. And I just wanted to report that the tone was better than good. It was really nice, I thought. There was lots of talk of strained relationships, but the focus of the meeting was the continued support of the co-management framework. And they raised five things specifically, which is enforcement, riparian standards, fires, culverts, and hatcheries. There was a couple of specific asks from very important people. I didn't say anything. Director Susewin can report on the rest of the Centennial Accord, which I did not attend, which was actually all day yesterday, if he wants. But I just wanted to note that the conversations are still happening. They're happening at a very high level, and those are really good meetings. The other meeting of note lately for me was Chair Carpenter and I and several staff, including Director Susewin, met with the Skokomish on the issue of the ownership of the Skokomish River. Again, I was concerned going in. We had a really good talk, and that resulted in me offering, which of course, I mean, I really want to go up there and talk to them and see the river from their eyes instead of from my eyes. Jim, this is also in your district. I would welcome you to come when and if we set that up. So those are the two things of note that that I just wanted to let you all know about. And anybody else who has items of interest should raise their hands. I see Commissioner McIsaac has his hand raised.
Mine was on a separate issue, so I don't want to stifle any dialogue on that matter.
Oh, I was just reporting out. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to raise in general discussion agenda item C? Okay, there's Don again.
Okay, well, I'll go to it then. This is the matter of posting our Columbia River policy decision rationale document on the commission website. And I wanted to go through a little bit of reasons why this would be a good idea. And the chair was interested in having a commission discussion on this. So that's why I'm bringing it up. I'll go back to September 11th when the policy review process was concluded with the commission vote. And we discussed about having some sort of a communication plan after the vote. And that included a news release, a letter to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, and a written description of the rationale for the decision. And so what is this rationale? Well, it's really just the rationale that was put on the record with regard to the main motion that passed and the amendment to that main motion that passed. It's really duplicative of the audio record, but it provides also some detailed references of fact to help a reader on the basis of the justification of why the commission voted the way it did. This was also brought up on the October 2nd and the October 24th commission webinars. So the draft that's been out there since the last week of October has not changed. Previous to that had been reviewed by staff and commission members. And again, that final version was circulated to all the commissioners the last week of October. And I think posting this on the website would be helpful to us in several different ways. First of all, I think it's just generally useful to have a written reference for future use when we make a major policy decision that has some level of controversy to it, like this one. Back in 2012, there was a decision document that was put together, and I think we all found it in the Columbia River work group process to be useful in terms of reviewing things for this next version. And so I think it's just generally useful for a lot of people, and people should not have to go back to the audio record to try to find that out. I think it's also responsive to the public comment that we received in September. We heard some people say there's just no justification for this action. And in fact, we had some public comment that even claimed there was other justification for doing this that is really not accurate. So I think it's a good thing for the average constituent who's wondering about the rationale to be able to go read it and not have to go back again to the audio record to hear about why. I think it's also helpful as an aid to commissioners when we get a question of, could you tell me again why this was done? And it's something that we can just point to and have them go read, as opposed to saying, go back and listen to the full audio record. I think it's also helpful as an aid when we engage with the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, who will want to know more about exactly why did we make this decision or that decision. So all in all, I think it's a useful thing to post on our website right next to the new policy language and the news release and complete the website component that has described the whole review process, just as we discussed back in our September commission meeting.
Okay, there are a couple of hands raised. Commissioner Thorburn, Kehoe, and Anderson. Let's start with Kim.
Thanks, Barbara, and thanks, Don. I'm in favor of posting the document. What I think Don didn't mention was the phenomenal amount of a couple of years' work, the staff document, and then the work groups, the joint state work group, as well as the Washington work group. It felt that the decision document captured some of that as well. And I think it's nice to have a summary because you know, nobody's going to go back and listen to all of the audio and everything, as Don is pointing out. It's more than just the decision itself, but all of that back work. And so I'm in support of posting it.
Okay, Commissioner Kehoe.
You're muted, Don, or Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I too support posting it. Kim, Commissioner Thorburn stole a lot of my thunder, but I will just add one thing, and that is, and Commissioner McIsaac mentioned the decision document for the original policy. And as a person who was on both of the work groups, I found that decision document invaluable in order to kind of understand what the intent of the policy was, what it was meant to achieve, and what it was not meant to achieve. And so, you know, I think it's a roadmap to the Commission's ultimate decision on this. So, yeah, I think it's a valuable document. I thank Commissioner McIsaac for, again, kind of carrying the laboring oar with the pen. It was reviewed, all commissioners had an opportunity to review and comment on it. And staff had an opportunity as well. So, I support. Thank you.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes, I think in addition to reasons that have been talked about, I'd just like to suggest that there's real value for future commissions, commissioners. We're going to have at least one new commissioner and possibly three others, not knowing what's going to happen, but we have some vacancies. So the idea of, you know, kind of putting a bow on that makes sense to me. You know, we've talked about it, and I certainly was kind of thinking that we would have that going forward. Kind of quick reference, so to speak.
Okay, is there anyone else? If not, as usual, I have a process statement on this. Or as usual, I usually bring up process. We've called this document several different things. It's been called an interpretation. It's been called a rationale. It's been called a statement. And I guess I'd like to start by saying that if the request is to put this on the web, on our website, I don't have any problem with that. I have talked to Commissioner McIsaac quite a bit about I initially there was some question about whether we as a commission send this to all the state legislators and Congress people and everyone else, who we would send it out to people, which sounds to me a bit like a lobbying campaign. And also it sort of treads on our really good legislative liaison. Don has mentioned, has agreed that that's probably not a good idea, and has sent the document actually to quite a few people under his own name, including our legislative liaison. So my opinion is that this is fine, but it does bring up some process questions that I would like to sort of set aside for the next time, if we hopefully ever do have a chance to have a another workshop and sort of reset the parameters under which we function. And I think this is really important. When that vote came down, everybody knows how cranky it was. Everybody knows how hard it was. And the chair had a request that with the press release go the minority interpretation of this policy. And that request was appropriately denied. That's not what a press release is for. It's to let the public know what we did. And I don't have a problem with that at all. But in this interpretive statement thing, I wonder if minority views should have a venue to be explained. And they can go back and listen to the audio on that as well. Speaking for myself, as everybody might remember, my objections were to timing and strategy. I don't really want to put that on the web, but others might. And so I am not saying we have that discussion now, because there isn't a document developed by anyone that would compete with this one for letting the public know why the people who voted against this policy did so. But I would like to have that discussion. I would like to have these things named so that we don't keep throwing around different versions of the same thing. And I would like us to have sort of a shared agreement about how and when they're used. And this isn't the first of the times that we've diverged from the things that we all agreed to in our earlier workshops. My job on this whole panel is to be the parliamentarian and to try to keep us working within the lines and openly and transparently and all that. And so I also feel like it's my job to raise those when they come up. This is one of them. I'd like to be firmer on what it is we're talking about and what it is we're doing. So with that, I'm fine with having it on the web. I think I hear a consensus.
Barbara?
Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I concur with everything you just said. It's fine to go on the web, but the process is important. We have to act as a commission, not as an individual commissioners on everything that we do. And how we message that to the external world is very important, because we don't want to have the potential of 9 external messages being floated out there at any one time. So you were spot on. This is fine. Put it out there for the archival reasons and for the transition reasons that my colleagues raised, I think makes sense. But I think there's a bigger issue here that the commission has to address, and that you raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. I see 2 hands up, Joe Pinesco and Kelly Susiwend. I am going to leave it to you who goes first.
Director?
I would always like to stay within the law, so I'll let Joe start.
Sure. I'll just add one additional process layer is you know, I would urge caution to that before any statement is ever pushed out as reflecting an official statement representing the views of the commission, that we ensure that the process guarantees that at least the majority of the commission do in fact endorse that position. legally, I think you have flexibility if you just want to do it by consensus of, you know, circulate it. And as long as you're sure that you have a majority of consensus, I don't believe that you legally you would need a formal motion or vote on it, but just express caution to make sure so you don't have people posting things that they think represent the views of the commission when in fact that is not entirely accurate. And again, speaking about, you know, the majority view of the commission.
So Joe, is that a long way of saying you think we should take a vote on whether this goes up?
I think it's a policy call. If you wanted to take a vote, I have no objection. If you want to do it by sort of a softer consensus, that I think that's a policy call. But you know, some as long as there's some effort to make sure that it's been vetted with the commission, so that you don't have someone at some point saying, no, that's not actually the view of the commission.
Okay, on this one, since this document has been out there in so many iterations, and I think we've all read it, and we've listened to this discussion today, I'd like to say that there's a consensus that it goes on the web, and ask if there's any objection to that, and leave it there for now. So you guys think about whether there's any objection while we call on our esteemed director. And I've got to say, I'm getting notes from Nikki that I'm dark. I'm sorry, there's nowhere I can sit in this place without being dark, but I will try to figure that out for later. So Commissioner, Director Suswind.
I thought I was just adding to the drama. Speaking from the dark. So mine sort of follows on with Joe Pinesco's. Certainly the will of the commission is the will of the commission, but if we're going to post this, I'd like to know what it is. As Commissioner Baker said, we've called it a number of different things. It does not include a dissenting opinion. So when people find it on the web, what is it? And so I think it would be appropriate, and I'm not trying to drive it one way or the other, it'd be appropriate for the commission to tell us how to describe this document when we put it on the web.
Commissioner McIsaac, do you have a response to that?
Yeah, I think it's quite simply the description of the rationale for the motion with an amendment to it that passed. So it's the description, if you want to call it a majority minority, it's a description of the majority vote rationale for the decision that was made. And so it does not include a minority. It does not include a minority section. If on the website it should be noted as to that, that would be accurate. But anyway, that's what it is. It's a description of the rationale and the justification for the change in policy for 3620.
Madam Vice Chair.
Go ahead, Chair Carpenter.
I guess to make it simple, I would just throw out the term majority report. It's simple. People understand what it means. If someone wants to generate a minority report, they can. If not, so be it.
Well, that certainly tracks with what we used to do in the legislature, and I guess they still do. I haven't thought, again, this is the kind of thing we need to talk about in a workshop. With the Wolf Report in 2011, it was called the Commission Statement. Sorry, I cannot turn that off on my computer, even though my phone's muted. But so, Don, what about Majority Report? Does that work for you?
No, I don't think Majority Report works out too well. I think it is a description of what the Commission's decision was on changing policy 3620. I'd be fine with some language there in that part of the website where it draws a conclusion to the process or puts a ribbon on this decision to say that this does not include the minority report or a minority report, but it is the will of the commission, and it reflects the reasons why the motion was passed based on what was said on the record at the time in September. People can conclude that that's a majority report if they like, but it's the commission action.
Okay, so we have four people that have spoken in favor of, specifically in favor of this. At least one of those is a lawyer, which is Bob. I think what we're stuck right now on is a bit just what to label this thing. And it's going to go on the web. The label should reflect that it is, okay, so well, here's what I like. I like commission statement on the passage of 3620 with the next line down with what you were saying, Bob, the rationale and reasons why we passed this thing. The next line down being the vote, which was 5-4, and then the text of the document. Does that work for you? It's just that we've called these things statements in the past. And so until we get a chance to redo everything, let's call it the same thing we always do. Does that work?
Well, the title, that works fine for a description on the website about what this is. The title of the document says a decision rationale document. I think that's what the title is. I don't have it in front of me. What you just described as introductory text on our website that says the commission made a decision on September 11th. Here is their decision. There's a decision rationale document that reflects the majority opinion or whatever those things you said. That's all fine. There is no minority report. That's all fine. But the document should not change. So the introductory business that explains what it is, that's all fine. I think our news release ought to stay there too. And again, this is so people who wonder why we did what we did or what happened can go back and look at this record.
So I would just like to say that I think we have an agreement here. I'll be happy to help with whatever, with what goes on the web. Don, you have already transmitted this to a bunch of people under your name. I don't think anybody's talking about changing the document at this point. But my point is that in the future, we need to develop these things in such a way that if any of us feels that the document should change, we have a discussion on that, which is not to suggest that that hasn't happened here because this document has been out there. But I don't think any of us should have the authority to write up a document and then say it shouldn't change. But no. I'm not sure that's what you meant.
No, I did not mean that at all. I'm glad you brought up not having an individual do something on their own. So this was brought up at the full commission meeting on September 11th and talked about at that time. It was talked about at every commission meeting since. It was provided to all the commissioners for input and had a staff report. As you indicated, our excellent legislative liaison was provided a copy at that time of staff review. And then the final version was put forward to all the commissioners who had an opportunity to say, oh, this is the final version. Do I have any more comments? There were none. So that process did go forward. And so here we are talking about it today. Call that part of the process as well. So I support what you said about putting a description of this on the website so people know what it is. We can talk more about it at future workshops. As you've indicated, that's all fine as well, in my opinion.
Okay, my opinion is we beat this one to death. Does anybody have anything else to say on this? I don't see any. Oh, wait, there's Bob.
Not on this, Madam Chair. I want to move to something else.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. You know, this Columbia River discussion had me thinking about our the meeting of four commissioners with the Oregon Free Oregon commissioners. I don't know if you, Madam Vice Chair, were going to say anything about that, or you, Mr. Chairman. But you know, I think it's appropriate that the rest of the commission know that the meeting took place and know what the next steps are.
Chair Carpenter or Bob, I mean, you were there.
I would yield to either the chair or vice chair first, and if you guys don't have anything to say, then I can offer some comments.
Okay, well, I'm going to yield to the chair. So, there you go.
The first meeting was designed, requested by Oregon to be an introductory meeting. And they had asked, they suggested that they had some questions to ask of the Washington delegation and staff. Staff did a nice job in doing a briefing of the policy we adopted. And it was a 1-hour meeting, so there wasn't a lot of time. Chair Wall is fairly formal about introductions and who people are that she's dealing with, and so be that. So I won't dwell on the meeting anymore. I did follow up after the meeting, a day or two after the meeting, and suggested to Chair Wall we needed to schedule another meeting as at a convenient time fairly soon. It was said, told to me that December was not going to work for her and her colleagues, but January, she would come up with some dates in January to schedule a follow-up meeting. So that's all that I know on that. Right now, waiting to hear from her. If I don't hear from her by next week, I'll try and get hold of her before Thanksgiving and see if she has some dates so we can get them out to everyone so we can go forward and have this process evolve. So that's my report, folks.
Hey, Jim Anderson has his hand up.
I was in the audience. I wasn't part of the call, but I thought we were going to get a little further on the concurrency issue. I had to leave at, I think, straight up 5 o'clock or something. And so maybe there was a brief discussion, but I just feel it's important that we collaboratively develop an agenda and have that in place. I got the feeling like, you know, it was an Oregon meeting and not necessarily a co-meeting. So I was frustrated because I thought we were going to make some headway on that underlying issue.
I see Bob's waving his hand.
Yeah, I completely concur with that, Commissioner Anderson. I was expecting and hoping for more of a dialogue. Rather, it was more one-sided. With the Oregon folks asking questions of staff, very little opportunity for kind of dialogue back and forth. My hope, not just my hope, my expectation is that in the next meeting, you know, being very respectful, but rather having a two-way conversation. That was my perception, my impression. Maybe others disagree with. That's my hope and expectation.
Okay, so my hope it was also that we have a two-way conversation, but I didn't expect one because the Oregon Commission made it pretty clear that they wanted to have an agreed-upon forum with our staff so that they could really understand our policy. I sure didn't think it was going to take an hour of back and forth and questions, but they had a lot of questions. And I mean, we've all been in negotiations before. We can be as collaborative as we can and come up with an agenda that sets our expectations, but we cannot force a negotiation. And I think we gave them this issue, and we at some point when we expect a response have to allow them to respond as they wish. I don't know what they're going to do. I had my first call in probably 2 months with Mary Wall a couple of days ago, and we talked about very little other than process, and it was not a long call. But she also verified what Larry said. January is the earliest. And the other thing that she mentioned is that she is spending an enormous amount of time talking to her staff, the governor's office staff, and other commission members to try to educate herself and get the will of the commission. I'm not sure, but there may be Oregon's commission as a whole may be taking this up in the near future. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I would welcome such a move because that would take, because then we would get to hear before we go into our next negotiation from each of their mouths with how they feel about this issue. So that's just how what I thought about it. I actually learned some stuff myself and sat there and listened to what it appeared their concerns were, and thought that that was illuminating. Don's waving.
I can't seem to find the right button here on the panelist part, but yeah, let me just say I also had been hoping that we would have some more policy level to policy sessions, but the meeting is over. It was a start, and so we'll call that a good thing. I think that to whatever extent there are communiques about planning the next meeting, that the sooner the better. We had an exchange of letters that had a common theme of two agenda items. We weren't able to get to the second one, which was just to touch on the process of discussing this without getting into the substance of it. And so as the indications are that there will be commission leadership discussions with their leadership, I would urge you to think about that second agenda item that we didn't get to as a priority. I would suggest that in addition to urging the sooner the possible, that the better, that there be a sufficient amount of time for significant policy discussions to occur. And a 1 hour meeting is an awful brief time frame to get to some of this. So those would just be my comments. As long as we're having a discussion here about the approach, I think our colleagues over on the other side of the river are very interested in getting to concurrent policy and regulations on this matter. For those that weren't listening, you heard quite a bit of questioning on the conservation benefits of any policy changes. That's important to us. That's important to them. So we've got a lot of common ground here. We just have to get to the point where we can initiate some policy level to policy level discussions and hope that any technical matters that are answerable by staff, they've got some very talented staff on the Oregon side of the river that's very knowledgeable about all of these issues. And so let's just, I would just ask both of you as you're contacted to do your best to try to move forward the will of the commission that we engage in a meaningful policy to policy level with those folks as soon as possible.
Thank you, Donna. I think that's been done. The other thing that I've suggested from the beginning on this is that at one of these meetings, probably two meetings from now, we have a commission to commission meeting. I mean, this is, we all understand this issue pretty well. And I think that having all of us involved and hearing what's happening, if we can overcome the awkwardness of these phone calls would be beneficial once we get to actually negotiating policy toward concurrency. So that's been my suggestion all along, and it still is. Is there anything more on that? I'm looking at the time. It's 10 to 10 now. We probably need to start wrapping this up, but I don't, these have been good discussions today, and I don't want to short circuit them. Molly, your picture just came back on. Does that mean something?